بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تغضب. رواه البخاري رحمه الله تعالى. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that لا تغضب, do not become angry. Now this hadith, on the face of it, seems like a simple short statement. But in reality, it has a wealth of knowledge, and it requires explanation to understand, to truly appreciate. The first thing we must understand is that this hadith, this statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually occurred in a short incident. What was it? That one sahabi radiallahu anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked that, give me some advice. Awsini ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this advice that do not become angry. This sahabi, he again said that, give me some advice. So he was trying to say that another piece of advice. But this one advice was so important that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to emphasize it, he said it again, that do not get angry. And the sahabi again asked, and a third time as well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said that do not get angry. Meaning that this one advice is so important that it was worth repeating three times. It is just like in another hadith, a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another sahabi, and he said that, he asked that, who should I treat well the most? Who should I serve the most? Who should I pay most attention to treating well? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummuka, your mother. Then the sahabi asked that, after that, who is second in status? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to emphasize the status of the mother, he said, ummuka, your mother again. And the sahabi asked again that, who's next in status? So then again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummuk, your mother. And then sahabi, when he asked a fourth time, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to mention the other relatives, the father, the other relatives, etc. So in this hadith as well, the sahabi asked for advice at least three times. And every single time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same advice, that do not get angry. Why? Because when a person gets angry, then he loses control over himself. So that person who ordinarily is very pertinent about the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gets angry, he will do those things that he never dreamed of doing. There are people who have, as a result of becoming angry, they have murdered someone. Whereas this is something they would never ever think about doing. And when they appear before the judge, they are fully sorrowful. And people look at his face and think that, how could this person have murdered anyone? But in the fit of anger, when the fire of anger rises in a person, then it clouds the brain. The brain no longer works. It is for this reason that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said regarding a judge, that if a judge even gets angry, some case comes in front of a judge and it is something that the claim or the crime that is being mentioned is something truly horrific, and the judge becomes angry as a result, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice is that the judge, at that time, he should stop. He should wait until it calms down and then he should carry on with the decision. Because whenever the fire of anger rises, it clouds the mind and the brain cannot function correctly. And we too will have realized this, that whenever we make a decision in anger, when we look back, we will think to ourselves, if I hadn't done it, it would have been better. Instead of this, that would have been better. But why did we make that decision? Because when there is anger, then the intellect doesn't work truly. It doesn't work properly. So if a person, he can learn to keep his anger under control, then he will never ever fall prey to this trap of shaitan. Now, the next thing we must understand is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here told us that don't get angry.
What he was actually trying to say was that when you get angry, restrain yourself so that you don't do anything wrong. Because if you think about it, anger is a feeling which... anger is not a feeling that you press a button and it turns on. And you press a button and it turns off. It's a feeling that's not within your control. If someone does something wrong in front of you, someone something wrong to you, then naturally you may get angry. That's not within your control. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually is saying, that when you get angry, then restrain yourself so that you don't do anything wrong. And for this action, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many, many virtues. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that man kadhama ghaidhan, wa huwa qadirun ala ayyunafidha. Whoever controls his anger in the state that he has the ability to act upon it. One is that the person in front of you is twice your size. No one is going to get angry and say something, swear at that person. Get angry and hit that person, raise a hand. That's obvious. But we are talking about that situation where a person, he has the ability to carry out, to follow up on his anger. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that man kadhama ghaidhan wa huwa qadirun ala yunafidhahu, that whoever controls his anger, when he has the ability to carry, to act upon it, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the day of judgment in front of everyone, in front of the entire creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a choice from the damsels of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this in front of everyone so that everyone realizes how great his achievement is. When a student comes first in the exam, then a prize giving ceremony is held. So one reason for that is that everyone can see what a great achievement it is. So the day of judgment, the prize giving ceremony will have every human from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the final, until the day of judgment. And in that prize giving ceremony, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call such a person who used to control his anger when he had the ability to carry it. And he will give him an option from the damsels of Jannah, so every person realizes what an achievement this person did. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that laysa shadidu bis-sur'a, that the strong one is not the person who can wrestle other people to the floor. Wa innama ash-shadidu alladhi yakthimu ghaidahu indal ghadab. The strong one is the one who can control his anger. Yamliku nafsahu, he can control himself at the time of anger. So this is a very important quality of our deen. And if we look at the incidents of the people of the past, the likes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the incidents of controlling the anger, then we will become astonished. It's mind-blowing. One Sahabi, as far as I remember, it is Ali radiallahu anhum, or another Sahabi. He is fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he comes up against a soldier of the enemy. And he overcomes him and he is about to raise his sword and end his life. Then at this time the enemy soldier, he spits on the face of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. What does the Sahabi do at this time? He immediately moves back. So the enemy soldier is astonished that I spat on his face to anger him, that, you know, last chance to do something to him. My life is going to end and he has moved back. So he asked him that, you know, what are you doing? So he said that I was fighting you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for my own sake. Because you're by being a barrier to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you people are stopping us from practicing upon deen. So that was why I was fighting you. And for that reason, I was going to end your life as well. But when you spat on my face, then my anger rose. And as a result, if I was to kill you after that, it was to satisfy my anger. So I stopped. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he's the Amirul Mu'mineen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has moved on. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has moved on. Umar radiallahu anhu is Amirul Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu, when we all hear of him, we think someone who was very strong and someone who was very scary, and people were scared of him. So one Sahabi, Hazrat Qais radiallahu anhu, either he's a Sahabi or Tabi'i rather, Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the two. He his uncle comes from somewhere distant, from Medina Munawwara. And Hazrat, this Tabi'i, Ahnaf, Hazrat Qais Rahmatullah Ali, he was one of the people who were close to Umar radiallahu anhu. So his uncle came from a distant area. His uncle was someone who had accepted Islam recently. He wasn't so aware that what respect, what etiquette you should have in front of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, what rank of a person Umar radiallahu anhu is. So he said that, can you get me an audience with Amir al-Mu'mineen? So his nephew, the Tabi'i, said, very well. And he went to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. First meeting with the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And immediately he started accusing Umar radiallahu anhu that you don't treat us fairly, you don't do this, you don't do that. Umar radiallahu anhu, of course, became angry, naturally so. Someone has turned up, he doesn't, without any introduction, who are you, who you are, what is the problem? Immediate accusing, and accusing someone like Umar radiallahu anhu, whose fairness every person knew. So the uncle is accusing Umar radiallahu anhu, and the nephew is next to him. And the nephew sees that Umar radiallahu anhu's face is, the signs of anger appearing on the face of Umar radiallahu anhu. So the nephew says that, what do we think? We think Umar radiallahu anhu was someone that people didn't dare speak a word. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were totally fair and totally just. Immediately the nephew speaks up and he says that, look, O Umar, O Amirul Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my uncle, he is jahil, he is ignorant. He's not aware of the etiquettes of how to speak, who Amirul Mu'mineen is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that wa'arid anil jahilin, that ignore the people who are ignorant. Don't worry yourself because of them. Umar radiallahu anhu had this and immediately he stopped. These people are human like you and I. And they had anger within them. These incidents tell us they had anger within them. But they also had the quality of being able to restrain one's anger. This quality is called hilm in Sharia, in the terminology of the Quran and the Hadith. Hilm, which means forbearance, control of the anger. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dua, he says that Allahumma zayyinni bil hilm. Oh Allah, adorn me with hilm, with forbearance. What does this mean? That when a person has this quality of forbearance, of control of his anger, then he becomes adorned, meaning he becomes beautiful. That means he becomes attractive in the eyes of people. When people look at him, when people look at his behavior, then they feel impressed. That what kind of person is he? Just like we feel impressed when we hear these incidents of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So let us first understand that this point, that there is something very important in our deen. That when we become angry, and look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made every person's nature different. Every person has different challenges. Some people get it takes a lot to get them angry, and some people it only takes a little bit and they get angry. Every person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him different challenges. But however much anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person, he has also given a person the ability to restrain that anger. Now the next question is, how does a person restrain this anger? So the ulama have mentioned, in light of the hadith and in light of experience, a number of methods. One thing a person should do who frequently gets angry is, from time to time, either when he's angry, alhamdulillah, or if not, when he is sitting on his own, maybe after he has done something, then he should always teach himself that he should tell himself, he should ponder upon the fact that someone made an error. I got angry. And as a result, I said this, I did this. But there is also someone over me, someone who has told me to do certain things and who has told me to stay away from certain things. Someone who has a very great right over me, my Allah. And I disobey him time and time again. But up until now, he has never punished me for it. I misuse my eyes time and time again. Up until now, he has never taken away even the eyesight from one eye. I misuse my tongue time and time again. But until now, the ability to speak is just as it was. I misuse my ears time and time again, but they're still working fine. So this is my Allah who is so forbearing with me. So why cannot I adopt the same behavior with this creation? And in fact, From the ahadith we understand this, that the person who is merciful to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to him. There is a very lengthy incident in the ahadith. I will summarize it. But the gist of the incident is that some munafiqeen, some hypocrites, they made some very serious allegations against Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, who is the beloved wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And some very, very serious allegations. And some true Muslims, they got caught up in this as well. They didn't realize that they were following hypocrites, they thought they were Muslims as well. So they got caught up in this as well. So one of them was the Sahabi Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, he was poor, and he was a relative of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being extremely generous, from time to time, every so often, maybe every month, maybe every second month, he would go and give some money to Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, so he could live comfortably, he could fulfill his needs. And this had been happening for a long time. This incident happened, and Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu was caught up in these allegations. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course, he felt hurt, and he stopped helping him financially. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in the Quran in which he addressing the Muslims at large and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu specifically, he said that وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا, that the Muslims, they should pardon and they should move on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, they should pardon other people. If someone else makes an error, they should pardon it, they should move on from it. Why? Don't the Muslims wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats them in the same manner? If we treat people in the correct manner, Allah subhanahu, if we have mercy on them, if we are forbearing with them, they make an error, we overlook it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us in the same way, inshallah. So a person ponders upon this. A person ponders upon the consequences of his actions. That last time I got angry, how much harm did that action of mine cause? It ruptured the household. It weakened the connection between me and that person, which had carried on for so many years. Few moments of anger can destroy a friendship of 10, 20 years. And we know that, we have seen that with our own eyes. As well as this, the ulama have also given some other guidelines. For example, a person, if he feels that he is getting angry, then he should leave the room, leave the person, the place. This will aid him. He should, if he gets angry, then the best thing he can do is he can stop speaking. I can't remember the name, but one pious person from the past, someone asked him that, do you have any disputes with anyone? He was well known for his piety, so he said, the Mr. asked him, so he said, Alhamdulillah, you know, I never have arguments. So they said, that doesn't it? Every person has arguments. So he said, Alhamdulillah, I never get arguments. I never have arguments. And the reason for that is that when anyone else starts an argument, when anyone says something, when anyone makes a retort, then my policy is that I stay quiet. You can only argue against a quiet person for so long. He's not going to say anything. How much are you going to say? One Tabi, Ahnaf ibn Qais rahmatullah alayhi, he was known for his forbearance. Once he had some dispute took place, so the person in front of him said that, you give me one swear, I will give you 10 swears. You speak ill of me once, I will give you 10 back. So Ahnaf ibn Qais rahmatullah alayhi, he said that, if you give me 10, I will not even give you one back. And another time, as it is always the case, sometimes there are misunderstandings, sometimes people are jealous of a person for his piety. So Sayyidina Ahnaf ibn Qais rahmatullah alayhi, he was the leader of his tribe. So once he was coming back home to his town, to his village, and someone who, for whatever reason, had a misunderstanding, or they were jealous of him, they started speaking, saying ill words to him, swearing at him. So he was known for his forbearance, for restraining his anger. So he carried on walking. The person is following him, carrying on. And he reaches the edge of his hometown, the village. And at that time he stops. He turns around and he tells the person that, look, we are about to enter the village, and I am the leader here. So if anyone sees you behaving in this manner, then you will be in danger. So whatever you have left to say, you want to say it now before we enter the village. So we also need to build this restraint within us. And for this, this requires mujahada. We have to strive, we have to make an effort. Even we have said that one of the advices is that a person leaves the room. This requires effort, not to reply at that time, to leave the room. The ulama have said another method is that a person, if he's standing, he sits down. And if he's sitting, then he lies down. Why? Because anger is like fire. And fire rises. It doesn't go down, it goes up. And the ulama, in light of the hadith, have also said that a person should drink some water. Why? For the same reason. Because anger is like fire. It creates heat. And water, it cools a person down. But all of this will happen when a person makes an intention that I must restrain my anger. I must not do anything in anger that I will regret afterwards. To this extent that the likes of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah have said that when your child, he does something wrong, you get angry as a result, then don't punish him whilst you are angry, because you will not be able to administer the correct punishment. Because when you are angry, your intellect doesn't work properly. So you will not be able to administer the correct punishment. Wait until you have calmed down and then decide which punishment I should give. Then you will be able to give the correct punishment. So if a person is not able to control his anger, it harms him in every walk of his life. And if a person is able to control his anger, it benefits him in every walk of his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice among this hadith. Ameen. Wa khiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka.